Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. So glad you tuned in. Honored to have you along today, and happy 2015. Well, as we kick off the new year, I want to pause and say, I am excited. I'm so excited to have you listening today. I believe God has divine appointment in store for you this year, and there's specific land He wants you to take. There's healing He wants to bring into your life, and there are people He wants to reach through you. Will you be open to His leading in your life? My prayer is for you that you will walk in step with Him, that you'll come to know His voice and live a life that's led by His Spirit for His kingdom purposes. Our God is a star-breathing God, and He has plans for your life. If you're willing to open your hands and let Him, He will lead you. We're going to talk about our identity. We're going to talk about the fear of man. We're going to talk about the idea that we are someone God loves and sings over, and the whole concept of living in response to God's love rather than in reaction to our circumstances. So I'm very expectant about today's show. We had a great prayer time just praying for you that God would really, as you're driving or sitting in your home listening, that God would really awaken your heart to a whole new level of understanding of your worth in Him, your value in Him, your call. Because when we start to get that and it gets in and it seeps into our souls, we live from a totally different place. We process our pain in a totally different way. We even perceive our circumstances from a whole different perspective. So I really am expectant, and I just pray that God's His Spirit would just guide and guard us as we talk today. But I've got a handful of copies of my book, The Uncommon Woman, and this is one of my books that I would say is closest to my heart, a signature book, and I probably got 5-6 copies. So if you're the first to get on the air, first 5 or 6 of you, you'll definitely get a copy. And here's my question for you, unless you've got a question for me. My question for you is, when did you first get a sense of God's love for you? When did you first get a sense of your divine worth? I asked the question on Facebook. It was so interesting. So many of them said, well, when my first worst fears were realized, or when I failed, that's when I knew His grace. But when did you get that first glimpse that you are not what you do, you're someone God loves? I'd love to know. Phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So as I said, I'm going to just use this next hour to just unpack this message, this uncommon message, and the whole idea of who we are to God and whose we are because of it. And so, you know, I've mentioned my hubby. We've been married almost 30 years. This spring, it'll be 30 years. Do you believe it? We got married when we were 4. So I'm that young. Anyway, he's a big guy. He's 6'3". He's 200. I won't say how much he weighs. Never mind. He's big. And I'm 5'2.5". So the big thing for me to get used to just being married to him and dating him is he is just big and kind of clunky. He's a gentle giant of a man. But I'm telling you, he would reach to put his arm around me. 5 out of 6 times he clocked me in the face first, and my nose would be running, my eyes would be watering, and then he'd be like, oh, sorry, sorry. And I'm telling you what, this really, really sort of amped up, if I should say it that way, when we were married. Okay, so I'm in bed, I'm drinking my tea, reading my book, and in his world, he's coming to bed, he's pulling the covers back to get in bed. In my world, he's creating gale force winds because he whips the covers back so hard because he's just strong. My tea goes flying one way, my book the other. This has happened several times, and I'm telling you what, his eyes would get big and my eyes would get big, and he'd be like, sorry. And so we kind of came up with this funny rule that if I'm ever holding anything liquid and he wants to sit down or stand up, he just needs to say, permission to move. That way I hold on to my liquid and it doesn't get spilled. And so I was just one day in my prayer time thanking God for him, because I'm thinking, okay, the guy just moves in proportion to his size. He's a big guy. He makes big moves. Things get spilled, knocked over, and, you know, I get clocked in the face once in a while. But in all the ways that matter, he's a gentle giant, and he is so careful with my fears and insecurities, and he's a wonderful man of God. And so in my prayer time, I was just thanking God for this giant of a man that I married to, and he's not perfect, and neither am I. And so I hope you don't hear me painting that picture. But we've loved and forgiven a lot, and that's why we're strong in marriage. But anyway, I'm just thanking the Lord. And then it just occurred to me how big and great God is. Scripture talks about that the earth trembles in the presence of the living God. And at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the oceans can be seen, that the trees clap their hands. I mean, think about this, that the earth responds to the power and the presence of the living God. He created the sun. We can't even get close enough to the sun. We can't get close to the sun without it burning us up. And he created the sun. So we can't get near something he created without it burning us up. I thought one day, why can we get near him? He's so big that the earth trembles at the presence of the living God. At the blast of his breath, the bottom of the ocean can be seen. So why is it that we, humble, frail, broken, sinful people that we are, can we get near to the Lord? Well, part of the answer is in Lamentations 3, 20-21, and it says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies, they fail not. His compassions are great. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." Isn't that amazing? Because of his love, we are not consumed. In fact, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son." And it's amazing. Because of his love, he sent Jesus to die. He lived, he died, he rose, he defeated death. And because he lives, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you have your eternity secure and you walk in his presence as you live here on earth. That to me is absolutely amazing. So because of Jesus, he made a way. We have access to the throne room of God. And scripture says we can be assured of God's glad welcome, that he's glad to greet us. And so he will use you and use me on a Monday knowing we're going to blow it on a Tuesday. So he sends new mercies to our door every single day. He makes provision for our weakness, for our frailties, and we can turn to him and pray 24/7 and be assured of his glad welcome. Isn't that amazing? I think if the power and the strength of God and the restraint of God doesn't speak to his great personal love for you and for me, I don't know what else does, because we can get near this powerful God and be wrapped up in his embrace, and he speaks to our hearts and he heals us. So here's that question I asked it again. When did you first get a sense of God's great love for you? I know we're all works in progress. None of us can fathom. None of us have it. We're not going to even know it fully till we see him. We're scratching the surface. But you know how that is when the sky sort of opens up and you get a glimpse into your circumstances and you realize, oh my goodness, I'm more sinful than I could have ever known, and he is more wonderful than I ever could have comprehended, and he loves me. It settles something in your soul. Well, the first five of you to get on the air, just share your story with me. I want to hear from you. Get a copy of The Uncommon Woman, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Got Tammy calling in from Big Lake. Tammy, welcome.
Hi, Susie.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you're my guest on today's show.
Thank you for hearing my story. It's a beautiful story. About 20 years ago, I was going through counseling for childhood sexual abuse, and I was in church one Sunday, and I saw everybody worshiping, and I saw a girlfriend of mine in worship, and she's just this exuberant worshiper, and she just loves Jesus, and her name's Katie, and I saw all of us with a picture, and it was just, we were coloring them, and it was just a heart, and Katie's had glitter and lots of color, and it was outside the lines, and mine was very perfect. It was outlined, and everything was just, had to be in order and perfect, and I remember thinking Katie's was probably more pleasing to the Lord. But then all of a sudden I saw myself sitting in Father God's lap, showing him, I was 4 years old, showing him the picture that I had colored for him and explaining what I had done for him and what I was doing for him. And he didn't care that, you know, it was perfect, that it didn't have glitter and it didn't have lots of colors. He was just completely enamored with me. And he was looking at me, and I remember I had a little hair in my mouth, and he pulled it away, and he was just, the look in his eyes and the tenderness, it still chokes me up, has completely changed my life. I have never been the same, because I'm just completely aware and assured of who I am with him.
Oh,
and so that was my experience.
I see, this is why our stories are so important, because somebody's listening today, mm-hmm. and they're going to realize it is possible to have an encounter with God like that, where he gives them a picture that speaks to right where they live, because
absolutely,
no one can take that away from you, and that is how God feels about you. So, wow, bless you. And I'm going to send you a copy of Uncommon Woman, and if you've got it, you can give it to someone else. But bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call today.
Yeah, thank you, Susie.
God bless you, dear. 877-933-2484. Tell me when you first got that glimpse of glory, that glimpse of a sense that you are someone God loves. Deanna, are you calling from Seattle?
Oh, yes, hello.
I love that. Hello, how are you today?
I'm great.
Yay.
Yeah, the very first time I was telling your call screener that I experienced God's grace or love or even that God was real and knew me from anybody else was in university. I had been a believer since age, you know, 0, 4, whatever, something forever. And always, you know, high achiever, kind of basic, almost an only child. I did have a brother when I was 6 and a half, but, you know, my formative everything was only child and performing and achieving and everything like that. So all the way to university, age 17 or 18, and I was invited to the church of a professor of mine. She kind of noticed that I was not okay and took me under her wing, took me to her church, which in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, was a predominantly attended by Black people church, and which, yeah, that's a very, very low percentage of the state. And so I didn't look like anybody. I didn't fit in. I knew they wouldn't think I was cool or that my singing was the right way to sing or anything like that. And I had only attended for maybe 3 Sundays in a row, and I was being welcomed into the church and just, oh, you're here. We're so glad to see you. And I looked behind me. I really thought they were talking about someone else. And it's like, oh, we're so glad you're here. And all I could think was, you don't know anything about me. I haven't done anything to make you like me so that you can't possibly. And that was, it just knocked me over.
Wow.
To be loved like that for no reason at all other than the fact that I existed. And that is the first time. And at one point, my professor just kind of looked at me like, you know, she couldn't figure out what's not getting through to you. She's like, but honey, didn't anyone ever tell you that Jesus loves you?
Wow.
And it was like I had never, ever, ever heard it. To me, the song went, Jesus loves everybody else this time.
Yes, yes. Wow, Deanna, you know, your story is so important because we are so calculating in our love. We assess, you know, and if we feel we commit the sin of comparison before we ever get a chance to know someone's heart based on our own insecurities. And so if you make me feel threatened, I pull back. If you make me feel superior, I step over you. And yet for these people to not know you and love you because that's what God and Christ, Jesus has done for them. And look what it healed in you. I mean, this is why love is the highest order of the day, because you received this just unabashed love. And it healed something in you. Isn't that just amazing?
It is. It changed. It was pivotal, and it changed everything for the rest of my life. So
I want to be that person. I want to welcome people in and love them like that. And I love that you called. And I love that you called from Seattle. And I don't know if you've got a copy of my book, Uncommon Woman. Do you have a copy?
I don't. I would love one. I started listening online, Susie, because I was listening to the podcasts, but I would never be able to call in. And so now I just kind of made a decision, like, when I'm able to listen online, I'm going to listen live, because what if I have something I want to call in about?
This, I just think this is God's just plan for us in this hour that you called this day, because I think somebody's listening and either heeding the challenge, I've got to be less calculating in my love, or they've got to just be willing to take the risk to believe that they are someone God loves like that. And so I love your story, and I'm so glad to meet you.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you for the book. I'm
Yay.
Thrilled that I made the cut.
Of course. And if you didn't give Grace your address, hang on and she'll get it from you. We'll make sure to get that in the mail tomorrow, okay?
Oh, wonderful. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. So nice to meet you. God bless you. All right. We've got Annette calling in from Madison, Wisconsin. Annette, welcome.
Hi, Susie. Thank you.
Yes, so glad to have you today. So when did you first get the sense of God's love for you?
Well, I don't know that it was the first sense of God's love, but I've been a believer for about 27 years. And the last year has just, God has just opened up a huge season of just suffering and challenges to just expose in my own heart the question of why do I love him and why do I follow? And some of those challenges with him putting his finger on the very thing that I treasure most in this world, which is my son. I'm a single mom at this time. and allowing my son to be in very difficult situations with his father, and really tying my hands of being able to manipulate or do any of the things that in my flesh I wanted to do as Mama Bear comes out and I want to protect my little cubby, and really to get on my face and just cry out to the Lord. And one day I was driving down the road and the Lord said to me, "What is it that you want me to do for you? Do you want me to bring you your son? What is it that you want?" And I paused, and I had to really think hard and long about that. And my comment back to him was, "Lord, I want to see him walk with you all of his days. Mm-hmm. And whatever you need to do to make him a man of God, make him that. Mm-hmm. Make him that, Lord." Mm-hmm. And in that moment, Susie, the Lord said to me, "Wow, you love me. Wow, you follow. Do you follow because I answer your prayers the way you want? Or do you follow because I'm Yahweh?" Amen. And I just broke, and I said, "No, Lord, I will follow you all my days because you are Yahweh, and you are worthy of that. And I know you love my son more than I love him." And in that moment, the challenges did not go away. He exposed more in my heart as being a false peacekeeper. All of these layers of things that he brought to the surface as he churned the soil of my soul. And in those layers, he just spoke love over me. And I knew right in the middle of that heartache and right in the middle of the brokenness and right in the middle of feeling that I had absolutely no control, that my God loved me so deeply that he pushed me to a point of knowing him deeper and trusting him. And it helped me redefine what I really thought the love of God was. Not that I fully know, not that I'm just really beginning to understand, but to know that it is the love of God that wants to see his image kind of just brought out and shining and resonating in our soul to the point where he will put us in those situations and not let us go and not leave us. And as we respond to his love, his severe mercy, there is a sweetness of soul that comes in knowing that you walk with the Lord, and that he's there, and he is in control, and he can be fully trusted, and that love can be trusted in any circumstance.
And that what you're saying is so powerful, and as you're talking right away, I'm thinking from Ephesians, talks about, "Oh, to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God." We think, "Oh, to get my way is for me to be happy." And scripture says, "No, oh, to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God." And while my suffering is different than yours, it's exactly the story that, you know, it's like when he cleared my house of cards and all my striving and all my wanting, and he showed that crack in my foundation for me as far as what I thought love was like and why I thought he loved me and why I thought I was following him, it deepened and strengthened my foundation. And so what must he have planned for you, Annette, not only your son, but for you, that he's allowing you to go through the valley of suffering, but just the way that you share how he's making himself real to you and known to you in such a profound way is absolutely beautiful. I can't thank you enough for being a heroic single mom, first of all, a praying mom, but a woman of God, first and foremost. I just really honor you today. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. You know, it was the love of God. You know, we talk about that, and perhaps it's just me, but I look at that, and I want to soak that in, and I want it to be about me. And through this process, not only has it been really exposing why I love him and why I follow, but the other is he turned to me and said, "Annette, I call you to love your enemies, to love those that are, even those hurting your son, love them." And I think, "Why, how do I love like you love?" And he, again, it is that whole essence of the love of God is poured out in our hearts so that we might pour that out to the world that is broken. And in that, he's beginning to turn my heart to understand when he said, "Lord, forgive them, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." For me to be able to love his dad and to begin praying and saying, "Father, he has no idea."
That's right.
Not only what he's doing to me or to his son or to the relationship, but more importantly, he doesn't have the capacity to love as a father that you have called to love. He doesn't have that capacity. So, Lord, be merciful and turn him. Because by your grace, the destruction comes to him and he has no idea what awaits him. And to be able to say that to my son, to say, honey, love, 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 love your enemy and trust your Heavenly Father. Yeah. Your Heavenly Father will protect you. Your Heavenly Father is growing you into a mighty man. And I think so often about your comment, you talk about your sons, how you have spoken truth over them and saying, God has a mighty plan for you. And I have taken those words and used them with my son and said, God has a mighty plan and your Father loves you. Mm. He loves you. So it has been a journey that, if you had said to me and write a Bible study on the love of God, I would have never written this story. And yet it tapped into exactly what I needed for God to help me understand.
Wow, Annette, I just can't thank you enough. And I can just hear the love of God oozing out of you. And this is what happens when we're in the wine press, is he makes something beautiful, and he's made something beautiful out of you. And just pray God's richest blessing on you. And I do pray that he, in due time, fulfills the deepest desires of your heart. Just bless you. You're going to get a copy of Uncommon Woman. And Marguerite is on hold, calling in from St. Paul. Marguerite, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I and my son, we enjoy your programs very much. And just wonderful, all the things you've learned that you pass on to us and the people you interview. It's very enriching.
Well, thank you so much. And so tell me when you got a sense of God's love for you.
Well, I'd have to say, as I tell people, when I was 18, my family of origin was going through a lot of trauma and alcoholic home and a lot of stuff going on. And then I started having my own, you know, grown-up issues to deal with in my own personal life. And I went to see a minister by myself, made an appointment, had a meeting, and I just wrote down a few things. I felt that he validated, you know, my difficulties. He cared. He listened. And he prayed and let me know God cared for me. And it felt so good that when I left, I felt like I was walking on a cloud. I remember walking down this hill to my grandma's house, and I felt like God's presence was all around me. And it just felt huge. You know, it just felt like it was freeing. I felt so free. And I just felt like, you know, I felt happy and joyful, and like I knew that God was real and he loved me. And it began a lifelong experience of me growing and knowing God. I went on to go to Bible school a few years later, and it just was the beginning of my personal relationship.
You know, here again, Marguerite, here's another story. You know, a number of you have called who've been impacted by somebody else's love, somebody else, God putting somebody else in the right place at the right time for you because he loves you so much. And I think that is so beautiful. And now you going to school, getting yourself trained, following God's lead. Who knows, I mean, how God is going to use you to bless so many other people who are in the place that you once were. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Well, I am older now, and I'm saying he did use me quite a bit and is still using me. Just weekly, daily, sometimes I meet people and just share and try to see where they're at and share God's love. And because, I don't know, once you've had someone share God's love with you when you really, really needed it, it just doesn't go away.
No.
You are able to see other people's pain, I think, when you've gone through pain. And I just want people to know. And I heard something yesterday, I think, on your station that said, it said, when we love God, we have a sense of urgency because we realize I lost two brothers in the last 2 weeks and two funerals, and one other brother is in the hospital with a stroke. And it's just overwhelming, but I just know I felt they were at peace with God, and that's the most important thing. But, you know, it's kind of shocking. I thought everybody would be as concerned, you know, but it's more the people that have had pain that can share your pain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we shouldn't mind that God trusts us to go through pain if we let him, like he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us with the same comfort that we can comfort others. And that's, it's such a treasure to be able to be a comforter to others and know that God can just keep filling you up and just pouring it through you. And that's how I've tried to live my life, and it's kind of what keeps me going.
Yeah. Wow, you're a beautiful soul, Marguerite, and boy, it is amazing how much we don't want to suffer, but it's that place when we look up and we trust him, that the most amazing things happen in our character. And we do have spoils from our war. We take them out. Our arms are carrying spoils in our arms because God sees to it that we don't go through battles for nothing. When we come back, we're going to unpack more of this uncommon message, what it means to have an uncommon perspective, an uncommon handle on who you are and whose you are. Give me a call and tell me how God has really revealed himself to you. 877-933-2484. He loves you. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou
thy faithfulness. You know, he is more faithful than we even know. And he woos us, he pursues us, he loves us, he offers us grace, he protects us in ways we can't fathom. He is good. He is God. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're spending this first hour just really focusing on what it means to live the uncommon life. I'm drawing some content from my book, The Uncommon Woman. And guys, this message is for you too. It's not about how to be an uncommon woman, but to how to have an uncommon comprehension of God's love, of your identity, and so we can live out of that place, live in response to his love and validation versus in reaction to our fears and insecurities and circumstances. So if we get a few more people on the air, I'll find a few more copies of Uncommon. I just want to hear from you. When did you first get a sense of God's love for you? When did you get a sense that you're not what you do? You're someone he loves. I want to know. 877-933-2484. Mary's calling in from Lionel Lakes. Mary, welcome.
Hi, Susie.
Hi.
Yes, I'd love to tell you about my first awareness of God's passionate love for me. And I was taking a parenting class some years ago, and as part of it, there was a questionnaire that we all took, and it showed what came up in the results of mine was that I had a very condemning conscience, that I was motivated by guilt, and it really opened my eyes, and I went for some counseling with my pastor and started to learn about perfectionism and started to really accept the fact that, like you say often, that I'm not what I do. I'm somebody that God loves, and it has been changing me so deeply over the years as I get free from that. And I, the Lord told me to just drop out of everything I was doing in church and for other people and just to start saying no to everything, and so that I could get comfortable with just being me and not what I did. And then following that time, I was suffering from severe insomnia and was feeling very isolated and alone during the night as my whole family was sleeping, and it felt like the whole world was sleeping and I wasn't, and I felt very lonely. And one night I was on the couch and I asked God if he would just come and be with me. And I so powerfully felt love come into the room. And every time I share that story, I tear up because I don't even know how else to explain it. I just felt so loved by God. He was just with me, truly, truly, truly with me. And that he knew and that he saw and that I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
And
Love that. So, I love that, Mary, and I think it's so personal and so beautiful, and he met you in your need. I know insomnia all too well, and it is a lonely, lonely place, especially when everybody else in the house snores because you know they're enjoying their sleep. But bless you. Oh, I love that he met you that way. And, you know, at sometimes, I mean, those are just landmark moments that we just go, I can point to that. That's part of my story, and God is faithful. And it does carry us through those times where he seems distant. He's not. But I think it just matures our faith because it's like, I'm going to remember in the darkness what he told me in the light. In your case, I'm going to remember in the light what he told me in that dark night. And because he is faithful. And I love that he did that for you, Mary. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to send you a copy of... I'm sorry?
Oh, I just wanted to say that your show is it's such a big part of my life. I try to never miss it, and I love that it's 2 hours now.
Yay, you're so sweet.
I love that.
Oh, thank you so much. And we're going to make sure to get you a copy of Uncommon Woman, okay?
Thank you so much, Susie.
God bless you, dear. Okay, so what does it mean to be uncommon? So here's just a basic definition: remarkable, extraordinary, exceptional, singular, significant, special, unearthly, mind-boggling. That's what we're called to. Do you believe that? We're called to a mind-boggling life. And so I remember back when I was fairly newly married. We had a few kids, I think, at this time. But a lot of you know my story. Our first 7 years were marked by unrelenting crisis, health crises, which resulted in financial issues. And we lived in this little split-entry house that was falling apart because of all of our money issues, and our dryer kept breaking. And so we would hang a rope because I didn't even have coins and money to go to the laundromat. So, and here I'm often on bed rest, first with high-risk pregnancy and then with this Lyme disease. So that couch was popping springs. The mini blinds were kind of bent and broken from hanging IV bags on them. It's just a pathetic picture. And then the rope is hanging in the living room with all of our garage sale clothes drying because we had no money. I had friends who had health, they had their money, they had name brand clothes, they were great people, but they had everything I wanted. And I struggled with the sin of comparison, with jealousy, with wondering why in the world I was a have-not and they were the haves. And I remember just going, where are you, God? I mean, I came into this marriage with a passionate walk of faith, a rich devotional life, and it's like you lost my address. Where are you? And one day I did have enough coins to go to the laundromat, and I brought my Bible with me, and neighbor was watching my kids, and I opened up to this passage. I'd read it 1,000 times before, but it was like Mary was saying. It was like God just opened the sky, and he met me right on that laundromat bench and showed me something about himself that I'll never forget. And you can't dispute those times when God shows up that way. John 13, verses 3 through 10. So John 13, 3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he'd come from God and would return to God. Listen to that again. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he'd come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Now, I just want you to think about this. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And in his knowing, he took up the towel and the basin, the thing that the lowliest servant would have done. I want you to think about that just a little bit more again. Because he knew that his identity was not up for grabs, was not changeable with popular opinion. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. So the King of the universe bowed low and did what the lowliest servant would have done. In that moment on the laundromat bench, it truly was like the sky opened up and God just bolted something into my soul and said, imagine if my children, if they knew they came from me, they were my idea, they're made in my image. If you knew you came from me and that you're going back to me, if you understood your identity was not up for grabs, changeable with the season or with whatever people are thinking about you or saying about you, you could do the high things that I've called you to, and you could do the low things that I've called you to. You could do the high things without any hint of pride and the low things without ever for a moment thinking it diminishes your value, because you're made in my image. You're made for me, by me, because of me, and you're returning to me. I just want you to think about that. As a Christ follower, we are not too small for big things. So you dare, dream big. If there's a dream in your heart, there's got to be something of it, unless it's just so selfish that it doesn't help anybody or move God's purposes forward. But most always, when you're a Christ follower, when there's a deep desire in your heart, God put it there. Our self stuff gets in the way. But if you get with God and say, is any of this from you? Because I'll bet you'll see something, a redemptive part of your dream. Dare to dream big and say, God, do the impossible in and through me. And he will take you through a training process and a humbling process, because you got to know it's not about you, it's about him and his purposes for you. But dream big. But also know as a Christ follower, he gets to ask you to do things that seem beneath you. And as if we follow our Savior, our Shepherd, that king got up and he bowed low and he washed the grime off of the disciples' feet, his best friends, who he knew would abandon him that very night. So you're not too small for big things, and you're not too big for small things. And I think it's so important that we understand who we are, whose we are, where we came from, where we're going, because we live as Christians so much of our life managing other people's opinions of us, trying to get people to think favorably of us, living out of our insecurities and our fears, or overcompensating for them. But imagine, just look at the calls. Deanna, Annette, Marguerite, Mary, so many who called today. God met them and untangled a lie and brought in a truth. And that's what he wants to do with us, and he wants to do for us. And so there's a very big difference between being a doormat and being a servant. And when you look at what Jesus did, he's not saying, I want you to get low and do the grimy job and let people walk all over you. So doormat theology is kind of like Eeyore theology. I'll do it. Nobody else will do it. I'll fill the slot. Everybody else is so much more important. I hate that. That just bugs me. I'm just telling you, I have a thing for that, because it just is so full of self-pity and kind of a sense of diminished value. And that's a lie. And so doormat theology only weakens us, because what comes out of doormat theology, when you just sort of lay your life down because you think less of yourself, because you think other people are more important than you, well, guess what comes out of that? Exhaustion, resentment, insecurity. None of those things come from the vine. But a servant mentality is to say, I know who I am, and so in knowing, I can give without expecting a thank you. I can serve without getting the credit, because I live and serve an audience of one. And so I can lay my life down. I don't have to. Just like Jesus says, you don't take my life, I'm giving it. And so when we know who we are, we can bring dignity to the most menial tasks, and we can bring humility to the most amazing achievements and accomplishments. And that is how our Savior lived, and that is how he calls us to live. And Arthur Willis wrote this great quote. He says, God is not merely concerned with what we do, but with why we do it. Listen to that again. God is not merely concerned with what we do, but with why we do it. He says, a right act may be robbed of all of its value in the sight of God when done with the wrong motive. A right act may be robbed of all of its value in the sight of God if it's done with the wrong motive. You think of how Jesus lived and how he loved and how he served. He modeled something so beautiful. And you maybe hear me reference this verse a lot because I love it so much. 1 John 4:16, and says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Do you know this love? I mean, if we spend the rest of our days, every single day as Christ followers, to say, God, you make beautiful things. Help me to know this love. Help me to know this love. I want to know this love so I can rely on this love. And as Scripture says, when you know this love, then you're filled to the fullness of God. And so you hear me say this a lot if you listen enough, that when you get into the ought to's and the should do's, it turns from a life-giving adventure to religion that drains you. So when you find yourself ought to, should do, I ought to pray, I should give, those are all good things. But when they're done out of that spirit, they're done out of the flesh. They are. And so that's when you get back to that place and say, remind me again what you think of me. Remind me again of who I am to you, and live out of that love, because then you get to pray. Then you get to give, and you get to live in a way that pleases him. We're going to hear a portion of the song from Gunger, because you know what? He doesn't make junk. He makes beautiful things out of us. We are just a pile of contradictions. We have insecurity. We have confidence. We have hope. We have fear. And he loves everything about us, and he's the one transforming us as we go. So as you listen, I want you to personalize this song, because he truly has set his affections on you. He loves you. He knows who he's getting when he got you. He knew it all along and wanted you with all of his heart. And I just pray you'd, in the days to come, start to open up your eyes and awaken your heart to say, Lord, like these friends who called in the show, I want to have an encounter like that with you. Untangle the lies in my soul so I can know a love that absolutely makes me whole. Let's hear the song.
I wonder if my life could be
Makes beautiful things. I want you to get a picture of that. You know, when I drive to work every day, I pray for you. I pray for just your needs. Maybe you're in a marriage that's tough. Maybe you've got a wayward child. Maybe you just got a broken heart. I just pray that God meets you. And so this show today is just really such a great reminder to just stir up an expectancy and dare to ask God, do a new thing in me. Make something beautiful out of my story. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I told Grace this before the show that I have such a sense that there's a man listening today who needs to hear this message. And I pray it doesn't sound like a female message, even though it's the uncommon woman that I'm drawing from my book. But these concepts are for men and women. And if you're listening and you're that guy, the sense I had as I was praying is just maybe you have a father wound. Maybe you're just exhausted. Maybe you've walked around with that deep, deep soul insecurity and you've just compensated by overworking or whatever. But you're not hiding from God and he's not disappointed in you and he loves you so very much. He's proud to call you his son, but there is a whole new level of restoration and healing that he wants to do in your life. He wants to make some things new. And I just pray that you and he encounter each other soon in the days to come. So I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I have three grown sons, are all married, and I've made a lot of jokes about my middle son. He was our strong-willed kid who lived in the corner. I mean, he had a permanent chair there with his name on it. Not really, but almost, because he challenged us at every turn, and he was just strong-willed and snarky. Well, then our third son was just the softest, sweetest little thing, and he would go around a bug before he'd step on a bug. And he was just that sweet kid. And it's like at his birthday party as a little guy, he'd get all these gifts and then he'd turn around and redistribute them because he wanted everybody to go home happy. And I thought, wow, what a sweet, generous kid. But I remember one day we're at McDonald's and he wanted to go back in line and get his own order of fries. And he wanted to be a big boy. I think he was probably four, and he's holding a crinkled dollar bill, and I'm keeping a mom's eye on him at a distance, and he's just kind of insecure and sweet. And one by one, people are butting in line and getting in front of him, and he's just sheepishly backing up, getting farther and farther away from the counter, not closer to it. So I went over to him, honey, what's going on? And he just shrugged his shoulders, I don't know. And we realized at that moment, though he's sweet and generous, he was also insecure. And you know what? We start to pump him full of truth. We were like, hun, if you are shy because you have less to say, that's okay. But if you are quiet and insecure because you think you're less than, not okay. Because God made you in his image. And when he looks at you, his heart beats out of his chest. He loves you so much. Your opinion matters. And if you feel always like everybody else is above you, you're kind of in a hole and everybody else is on the level ground. And if you believe that, every choice you make will be to get out of that hole. Well, guess what? You're not in a hole because Jesus died to make you whole and you are beautiful and wonderful to him. So if you're in a room where everybody else likes red and you're the only guy who likes blue, blue is a great color for you. He gave you a voice. He gave you tastes. He gave you an opinion for a purpose. And if you believe a lie your whole life, every choice you make will be to make up for that lie. But if you believe the truth about yourself, that's when you're going to go on and do and be everything God intended you to be. Well, over time, we start to see him believe it. You know, we'd start to see him go, hey, how about if we play this game? And just sort of assert his opinion. And we said to him, you know, you're not better than anybody, but you are not less than. And so over time, we start to see him just get his own voice and his own opinion. Well, months later, we're back at McDonald's, and this time he wanted an ice cream cone all by himself. So I'm keeping a distance, watching my boy with his dollar bill in his hand, wrinkled it up, just holding it tight. And wouldn't you know, one by one by one, these teenagers are budding in front of him, and he's going farther and farther away from the counter. And I'm exasperated. And so I go up to him, honey, have we taught you nothing? You know? And he's like, oh, no, Mom, it's not what you think. I know I could keep my place in line if I wanted. It's just that all these people look hungrier than me. And like a flash of lightning, I saw that passage from Philippians. It says, Jesus did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he laid his life down. I want you to think about that. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to leverage to his advantage. Now, almost anybody you ever meet that's got status or position is at least tempted at some point, to leverage their status and position in a way, because they can, in a way that benefits them and makes you pay. Jesus took his position. He didn't consider his equality with God as something to leverage in a way that he benefited so that you would pay. He did the opposite. He leveraged, because he could, his position as God and made himself. He died a criminal's death. And some who lived and died at that time assumed he was a criminal and got what he was due. He was content to be misunderstood, misjudged as a criminal. He leveraged his position as God. He didn't consider it something to be grasped. He laid his life down. It cost him everything so that you could benefit. Isn't that amazing? So what people maybe assessed in his day when he died, some knew who he was, others didn't, didn't matter. He brought dignity to the cross. That was the place of utter scorn and shame. We wear crosses around our necklace. Why? Because he brought dignity to the worst thing ever. And so when you look at even Jordan's two acts at McDonald's, they looked exactly the same. One was done out of emptiness and believing a lie. I don't deserve a place in line. And the second one was done out of the truth. I could keep my place in line. I just don't need to. To me, that's what true humility is a harnessed strength of knowing who you are. You just don't need everybody else to know who you are. To me, that's part of what it means to be uncommon. If you hear me, I rant about the rant. I'm so tired of the rant and the debate, as if we're going to debate anybody into the kingdom. Really? There's so much to be divided over. But if we walk in love, I mean, a conviction that we would die for, that we're not giving up our convictions, we're true to God's word, but we're not ripping to shreds people who don't believe the same way we do. Who was it that called with the husband? She's like, he's the ex-husband. He's lost. He doesn't know what he's doing. So I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to pray for him. That's what an uncommon person does. And so when we start to say, God, I want not only to encounter love, your love for me, so you untangle my stuff so that I can live an otherworldly life, I want you to do the same in my perspective of other people. Because as Paul said, as from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. So as we press in and say, Lord, I want to encounter you in a way that changes me and heals me. But I also want to encounter you in a way that you change my mind about how I see people that I disagree with. Because I want to walk in such a confidence in who you are, such an assuredness that your word will stand. I don't need to debate people. I can walk in love. I can die for these truths, but I'm not going to conk people on the head with them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to bless my enemy, because I want them to know that I've been with Christ. I walk with Christ, and this Christ loves them while they're yet sinners, as he did for me. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were still full-blown in your sin, he died for you. It's not how high you can jump. It's that he stooped down to make you great. Isn't that amazing? Okay, here's an excerpt from my book, Uncommon Woman. If we are serious about being uncommon, we must give God full permission to invade our dark places with his powerful light. If we really want to make a difference in the world, we must allow God to make a difference in us. If we want to see others the way God sees them, we must see ourselves the way God sees us. I'm going to wrap up in prayer here. Second hour of Live the Promise, we'll have Lisa Harper on, Woman of Faith speaker, to talk about grace in an abundant life and an overstressed life and what the difference is. Father, thank you for my friend listening today. I pray that they would encounter you in a life-changing way, oh God. I pray you would change them from the inside out, but I also pray you'd radically overhaul their perspective of the news, of people that they disagree with, of what you're doing in the earth today. Help us to be confident of you, because you are good and you are the King and you are coming again. May we live as ones who are spoken for. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You can find a full podcast of this program at our website, myfaithradio.com. And I'd love for you to share it with a friend who'd be encouraged by what our guests had to say today. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.